and we're gonna try to sing it.
Chief's Marsh.
Yeah, Chief's Marsh. There ain't nobody that can sing as good as I can, Grandma. She told me I was good. All right. Oh, how well do I remember how I doubted day by day. For I did not know for certain that my sins were washed away. When the Spirit tried to tell me I would not the truth receive, I endeavored to be happy and to make myself believe. When the truth came close and searching, all my joy would disappear. For I did not have the witness of the Spirit bright and clear. If at last the coming judgment would appear before my mind, oh, it made me so uneasy, for God's smile I could not find. But it's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. Hey. Praise God, the doubts are settled, for I know it's real. When the Lord sent faithful servants who would dare to preach the truth, how my heart did so condemn me as the Spirit gave reproof. Satan, 'twill ruin you to now confess your state. Keep on working and professing and you'll enter heaven's gate. But at last I tired of living such a life of fear and doubt, for I wanted God to give me something I would know about, so the truth would make me happy and the light would clearly shine, and the Spirit gave assurance that I'm His and He is mine. But it's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled, for I know it's real. So I pray to God in earnest, and not caring what folks said. I was hungry for the blessing, my poor soul it must be fed. Then at last by faith I touched him, and like sparks from smitten steel, just so quick salvation reached me. Oh, bless God, I know it's real. But it's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled, for I know it's real. But it's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled, for I know it's real.
Amen. Well, I like that. Sparks from smitten steel. Amen. I like that. I like sparks. I like firecrackers. I like bombs. I like dynamite. Amen. I like that stuff. Praise God. Amen. I like ripping the lip out of a fish's jaw. Amen. It's good stuff, man. I like it. It's wonderful. Amen. I tell you something else I like. I like a Holy Ghost fit. I like a Holy Ghost spell. I like people to get overtaken by the Holy Ghost and just go hog wild. Amen. I like to be around people full of the Holy Ghost, shout it out. I'm going to tell you, man, I believe in shouting. Amen. Yes. I believe in being full of the Holy Ghost. I believe people that ain't never had a shout spell has got a problem with Jesus. Amen. I believe we're to shout and rejoice. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Lift up your voice. Amen. Yes. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Man, I like it. I believe we're to have Holy Ghost fits. Amen. What is that, preacher? Just getting blown aside yourself, acting like a fool.
That's right.
That's right. Just acting like a fool for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's all right. It's always decent and in order to have a Holy Ghost fit. Amen. I like it, buddy. it's good to have Miss Desiree with us. Amen. She drove all the way down from Pennsylvania just to be with us. I appreciate it. Miss Desiree's going to sing us a song, sing a special. How many of y'all's glad that she's here?
Amen.
Man, that's a bunch of hands. Everybody that's glad Miss Desiree's here, bring me $20 cash. What's this, Miss Desiree? I mean, really, if you appreciate her being here, bring me some money. Sorry about it. Sorry about it, girl. All right. No, it's good to have her. She's going to sing us a song. Sunday, Brother Dale. It's good to have you. It's been good. Amen. Thank you for being here. Brother Dale, come and preach. Amen.
There's a word in the Bible. It's not the message, but it's called being a wanderer or wandering. It was not a good thing to be a wanderer or somebody who was wandering. There's only one time I was ever used good in the Bible, and that's in the book of Hebrews, and it's talking about how the prophets and the apostles wandered, how they were sawn asunder and such. But this morning, when Brother David got up here, and then Zach got up here in the songs, God showed me some wanderings about myself. What do you mean, preacher? That's right. I have some wanderings about myself that God had to put his finger on. Right. And, you know, I'll just tell you this, that when God told you, when he showed you that you were a wanderer, it was a bad thing. It wasn't a good thing, because being a wanderer means that somewhere in our life we've walked away from God. We've walked away from what he's called us to. We've walked away from some things that he has put instilled in our lives. Right. And I thank God this morning. I thank God this morning that I was here for Sunday school. I thank God that I was here for when you opened up and then that singing. I thank God that there's no other place I'd much rather have been today than where I was this morning. Right. Thank God for him putting his finger on some things in my life. I needed that whooping. I'm just telling you, I need to. Well, I'm a hard head. I'm a knucklehead and I'm a hard head. And I thank God because, man, he just does it right. He just points it right there like, listen, this is where I need your prayers. I need your prayers because it's real easy to get stuff in here and walk out that door and forget about it.
Right.
So what most people do, brother, you know that. The Holy Ghost comes in, he convicts people and such, and they walk out, shake it off, and it's over. I don't think about it again. I want to think about it. I want to be like the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8 when God said he put them in that wilderness. I want to remember that day sitting in that chair and God showing me those things that need to be worked on. I don't want to walk out of here and not have that in my life. If you would, turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, I want to show a few things here. And if what you're doing in seeking the Lord is not working, keep in mind, it's not always a physical change that needs to take place. It's how about a change of attitude or a change of heart or a change of mind? Maybe what needs to take place, Psalm 51:10, David asked God to create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You see, there comes a time when in this seeking, in this thing that you got, you call religion, that you get a bad heart and you get a bad spirit, and God needs to renew that.
Right.
You see, you keep trying the same things over and over again. Out there on the streets, the definition of insanity or the definition of religion is to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different outcome, and it never happens. Well, guess what? If you're still not saved in here today, it's because you're doing the same thing over and over again with the wrong attitude, with the wrong spirit. You need to ask God to help you with that.
Right.
That's the reality because, I mean, quite frankly, what's going on? What is stopping? What is that, Zach said? What is that stopping you from coming to God? What is that stopping you from you allowing God to work in your life? How about your heart? Give yourself a heart check.
That's good.
Examine yourself against that word of God. Man, that's what it's there for. What a wonderful thing to have that there.
Right.
You know, what a wonderful thing that God would see fit to look down upon us and say, here, I'm going to give them an instruction manual. This is the way I want you to run your life because it's obvious you can't do it yourself.
Right.
I got a rap sheet and a testimony that lets everybody on this planet know that I could not run my life, but God said, don't worry about that. I'll take care of that. You just come to me and I'll give you an instruction manual on how to run your life. It's what he does when it comes to salvation. Come to him. He's the one who can give that rest. But you notice in that verse, he doesn't just give you a spiritual rest, but he also gives you a physical rest. He wants to do that all the way around. And I'm just telling you now, it's a wonderful thing. How about singing those songs? How about hearing those things that are amazing? Is it real to you? Oh, man, I love that. I've never heard that song that you heard, so I love that.
Man,
I love that. I got to get a copy of that song because, man, I'm just saying, that would preach.
Right.
Yeah, I'll pay you money for it. Yeah. I love listen, I love that because, really, that explains what's going on today.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a thanks, but I'm so glad. I'm so thankful for that. But look, let's get into the Bible here for a minute. Daniel chapter 1. I want to read verses 8 and 9. This is what it says. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Do you see here Daniel purposed in his heart? He had made an intentional decision that I'm not going to defile myself with the things of this earth, with the things of this world. I'm not going to put myself out there. Listen, if you're a person who's not saved in this room, you need to purpose in your heart to stop defiling yourself with the things of this world. It's keeping you from God. This was merely food. This was merely drink. But in Daniel's eyes, the things of God were more important to him than that food and drink.
Right.
How much more important is salvation? How much more important is God getting into your life? How much more important is that to you than your very next breath? I told you before that me and my wife finally came to the place where salvation was the only thing that was on our minds. And I'm telling you, for probably about, 6 or 8 months straight, Amy, huh? Wouldn't you say that? We got in that birth canal about 6 or 8 months. We couldn't shake it. We couldn't run from it. We no longer had a choice where we had that choice to abort it and shake off that conviction. Now we were in there, man, and God was bringing us through that thing. But you know, we had to determine, we had to purpose. It was an intentional decision that we made, like Daniel just made here. He said, I purpose in my heart not to defile myself with the things that, he's not going to defile himself with these things.
Right.
And you read in verse 9, it says, now God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. You see, because Daniel purposed in his heart, all of a sudden he's getting favor.
Man, good.
You want the favor of God, you need to purpose in your heart that one thing and one thing only matters, and that's your salvation. Friend, listen, if you're saved here today, you need to purpose in your heart that the only thing that matters to you are the things of God.
Right.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Sure.
Is that not what it says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. How about it when you open your eyes in the mornings? Are you seeking God? Are you out there? You can brush your teeth and go to the bathroom. That's wonderful. But what's the very next thing you're going to do? What is it? That will show you exactly where your priorities are. You know what the Bible says? That Jesus Christ needs to be your preeminence.
Whoa.
What is that? Everything, all in all.
That's right. It's good.
That takes a purposing, brother.
Sir.
That takes a purposing. It takes an intentional decision, a determination in your heart that what matters to me is Jesus Christ. Listen, he gave me life. He saved me.
Man, that's right.
Should he not have that preeminence in my life? I thank God, because that's one of the things he showed me, that he did not have preeminence in my life.
Right.
God, forgive me. I walked away from God. God didn't walk away from me.
Yeah.
He's always been there.
Right.
You see, if you're feeling abandoned from God, don't feel that way, because you're the one who's walked away. He hasn't. He's always been there.
Amen.
But because of this purposing, this determining, this intentional decision not to defile themselves with God, God blessed them. Daniel chapter 1, verses 16 through 20 says, thus, Belzar took away the portion of the meat and the wine that they should drink, and he gave them pulse. And as for the four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. Listen, when you determine in your heart that you're going to seek God, when you determine in your heart that no longer does anything else matter to you, God will give you those things that matter.
That's right. Amen.
God will show you what it is that for salvation, or if you're out there and you're living a life that you shouldn't be living, that God will show you what that is. Look at here. He's blessing that purposing, and he's giving them all wisdom, and he's giving them all knowledge. And it says, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And now the end of the days that the king had said to bring them in, the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all of his realm. How about that? It was nothing. They were 10 times better than any single thing that could be found on this planet. Why? Because they purposed in their heart.
Amen.
If you're a saved, born-again person in here, purpose in your heart, and God will use you somewhere that no others can be used.
Right.
He'll do something with your life.
Sure.
If you're lost in here, you purpose in your heart that salvation is the only thing that you want. You purpose in your heart, God showed me. But I'm just telling you now, you can't defile yourself with the same old religious nonsense you've been in.
Right.
How has it worked for you so far? You've got to ask yourself, how is this working for me? If it's not working, the problem is that you're doing something that God doesn't, he's not approving of it.
Right.
You've not purposed in your heart to do what he wants us to do. Listen, it's not about what I live anymore. It says that I'm called according to his purpose. Most people don't want to give up.
Right. That's right.
That's hard to learn how to do. You know why? Because I sat in that chair and God put me under conviction. You know what he's telling me? That you're living your purpose, Dale. You're not living mine. I've stepped out of that purpose and stepped into my own purpose.
Okay.
I appreciate men who will preach what needs to be preached. You're right. You said things, man, I can tell you, you said things this morning, brother, that only me and other people have talked about, and you came in here and you said those things, and it blew my mind. I said, oh my goodness, did it not, Amy? No. Now, did I talk to you at all since we left church yesterday?
To your shame, though.
To my shame. Exactly right. But you understand, he came here and he said things. I said, how? There's only one way he knew that.
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
There's only one way you knew those things, brother. God put them on his heart. If that don't show somebody something, then there's an issue, and it's not with God. Because he just proved himself to you today. He just proved himself to you today, sitting in these very pews. He proved it to you. Show, I'm listening. I'm listening.
That's right, preacher.
He heard that. Because of the purposing in Daniel's heart in chapter 1, verse 8, God blesses Daniel and he hears and he remembers his words. If you go forward, you don't have to turn there, but in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, and then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand. You see that? In Daniel chapter 1, he purposed in his heart, and here's God telling him, since that day that you purposed in your heart to understand, he's about to do something. Look what it says. And to chasten thyself before thy God. Thy words were heard, and I had come for thy words. What a wonderful thing to know that when you purpose in your heart and you'll chasten yourself, you'll allow God to bring you exactly where you need to be. He says, those very words I'm going to come for. I'm going to keep my end of the bargain. You tell me you're going to seek for me? You tell me you're going to purpose in your heart that you're going to come to me and you're going to allow me, like you said, with fasting and weeping and gnashing and tearing off. Don't tear off the garments on your body, but rend your heart. You're going to do that. He says, I'm going to come for those words. Imagine this prayer we get on our knees and God says, hey, Brother Dale, listen. I'm coming for them words. Yeah. Woo! What a wonderful thing to know that God is coming for those words. Right. What a wonderful thing, because you know what? He sees that purpose in our heart, but how many times have we purposed in our flesh?
That's right.
Purposing in your heart and purposing in your flesh are two different things.
Right. God knows better.
That's right.
That's why you're still the way you are. That's why you're still in the same position you're in. Why? Because all you're doing is purposing in the flesh. Dang. You got this feel-good thing going on inside of you. You get this little bit of conviction. You think, this is it. This has got to be the big one. No, I'm just telling you right now. How about Sanford and Son when he said, oh, I got the big one. It never was the big one. Get that little feeling going on inside of you. And think, this is the big one. I'm getting it this time. How many times I walked away? How many times did we walk away from that altar, Amy? How many times we walk away from the altar and go, well, I thought this was it. No, that was just one more thing that God showed me about myself that he was trying to deal with me. That's one more thing that he was able to open that door and show me that light. One more thing that he went in there and he showed me. And I was like, oh my goodness, I've never seen that. Yeah. That circumcision is cutting off the thing of the world. It's opening the ears. I didn't have ears to hear. I thought I had ears to hear. I thought I had a heart that was seeking after God, but the Bible says there's none that seeking, there's none that understand. Why? What is that? That's God working with the person. He's cutting that stuff off. He's opening the ears and opening the hearts so that we can seek him.
Right.
I didn't know that. You tell me fornication was bad. What do you mean? I fornicated my whole life. How is that bad? I didn't understand fornication being a bad thing. I grew up in that. I go in there and I tell them, guys, well, let me ask you this, my friends. You guys are real serious about serving the Lord, but I mean, you're right on. You know verses are great. You're doing studies and everything else. How many of you have girlfriends on the outside? Raise your hand. I said, well, how many of you are going to go home and fornicate? How many of you are already planning in your heart today when you walk out those doors, the first thing you're heading for is your girlfriend? Because they don't see fornication well. They don't see it the way God does.
Right.
God's got to convince them of that. God's got to show them that. How does he do it? By a preacher. Preaching this.
Man.
They don't understand that.
God
wants to get in there and show them. He wants to work with them. But Daniel, it says, from the first day that didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for them. These things of God are more important to Daniel than the things of this world. The book of Daniel is a great example of a person who has purpose in their heart over all else. Over all else. There's nothing else that matters to Daniel. Look, let me just break it down for you. He wanted the things of God no matter what come his way. When the devil tempted Daniel with the goods of this world in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel purposed in his heart not to take of it. When the devil attacked him in the music in Daniel chapter 3 to get everybody to bow down to a false god, Daniel purposed in his heart not to do so. When the devil attacked Daniel in his prayer life in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel purposed in his heart not to stop praying and serving his God. Instead, the Bible says, because of the purpose in Daniel's heart, that Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's world." Word. Let me just tell you this, my friend. Our lives should be changing the way this world is functioning and not the world changing our lives, Christian. You see, our lives are being changed by the world. We should be out there changing. Why? Because we purpose in our heart to do what God wants us to do. Instead, today, the world is busy changing Christians because they've lost that purpose. They've lost that the wanting the things of God. God sends some things our way when you're a Christian. He allows some things to come in your life. But what are people seeing? If I looked at Pastor John Asquith as Pastor John Asquith, I would have never gotten saved. But he had something inside of him that I wanted. That's what drove me to want to come to church. That's what drove me to know, want to know what's in that Bible. It's seeing something in him, not who he is. You got to meet him to understand. I met a lot of religious workers in my life through going in and out of jails and prisons and mental hospitals. I was always around religious workers. But I can tell you this, I have never seen nothing in them that I've seen in him. Because most of those people, the very moment that I would have raised my voice at them, most would have been gone. The very first time that I threatened to punch somebody, they would have been gone. Right. He stood. He just kept telling me about Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ. He kept preaching that Bible to us. He kept at it. He never stopped. And you know the one thing, the best thing that ever happened to me, Steve, is he looked me straight in my eye and he told me exactly what I was. And I hated every minute of it. And I despised every second of it. But you know what? It was the best thing that ever happened to me. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. There was a man full of Jesus Christ, full of the Holy Ghost, and he loved me no matter what. He loved my family.
It's good.
No matter what. But he did not hold back. I almost fell into that trap. I did. I almost fell into the trap of holding back on the preaching. I don't ever do that. But I almost did. But I thank God Pastor John did not hold back. I thank God that he stayed faithful to the Word of God. I thank God that he had purpose in his heart. Because we purpose in our heart to live for the Lord and not the world. We should be changing the way the world is and not the world changing us. I want you, if you would, turn with me to Ezra chapter 7. Turn with me to Ezra chapter 7. Not only do we need a purpose in our heart, my friend, if you're not saved in here today, you need a purpose in your heart of what's really going to weigh out. What's the most important thing in your life? Christian, if you're saved in here today, what is it going to be? Because quite frankly, you look around, it's a losing battle. You know why? Because Christians haven't sold out. They're no longer surrendered. I'm guilty. I am guilty. God pointed that out in me today, and thank God he's granting me repentance on that. I'm guilty of that.
Right.
But I need to purpose in my heart myself not to be defiled with the things of this world. To live separate. Look at Ezra chapter 7. I'm going to show you this in verse 10. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Look what it says here. And Ezra prepared his heart. Let me ask you this. I said Wednesday night to go home and prepare yourself for the rest of the week I'm preaching. How many of you have done it?
Man.
My point made. I can just close up my Bible and be done, and we can just go ahead and be done. You know why? Because nobody in here prepared their heart for this week. And you expect God to do something with that.
Man.
God, I really want to be saved, you know. There's going to be some preaching going on, you know, at least Sunday services and Sunday school is going to be going on. Maybe I ought to prepare myself for it. What did Ezra do? It says here that Ezra prepared his heart to what? Seek the law of the Lord. And to do it. And to teach in Israel the statutes and judgments. You see, Ezra says we have to prepare our hearts to be able to receive the word of God. Listen, we're going to receive something and it's not human. That Bible is not human. It doesn't deal with us on a human level. It deals with us on the level that it's a spiritual dealing that God deals with the person. And you know what that takes? A preparation in our hearts. Why? Because our hearts are defiled, according to Jeremiah 17, 9 to 10, above all things.
Yep.
And yet we think we're going to come to church unprepared and think that we're going to hear that? How many here disagrees that Bible is not holy? Do you think it's holy? Then how are you going to receive it if you're not preparing your heart with it?
Right.
Didn't you say that?
Sure.
And part of seeking is preparing your heart in that Bible. How are you going to uncircumcise your ears if you're not preparing your heart to hear this?
Right.
How's this going to happen? See, the preparation is important. Well, turn with me, if you would, to Amos real quick. Turn with me to Amos. I want to show you something here in Amos. God to help us here. And look what it says here. So we know that God is asking us to prepare our hearts. And again, forgive me because this is a new Bible for me and I'm getting it done, trying to get through it. My other Bible would have been very easy for me to turn to, but I got a new one that I'm starting to love. Look what it says in Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. Look what it says here, starting verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. Why? Because nobody's preparing their heart. Nobody, quite frankly, cares about the word of God anymore. Who cares about coming to church to hear this thing being preached? Who cares about it anymore? That's because there's a famine here. And God is trying to point out there's a famine going on of the hearing of the word of God, and it affects zero person. That's a scary place.
Sure.
I've only been saved 8.5 years, Brother Mike. And the things that I see today, that's a scary place. For a lost person to be okay with their lost state and not want to hear the words of God or care about it or prepare themselves or a purpose in their heart, man, that's a scary place.
Yeah.
Man, thank God. I thank God for His mercy on my life and His continual pounding on me for me to be able to repent and come to Him.
Yeah, I know.
Listen, without repentance, there is no salvation. Forget it.
Right.
It's over.
Right.
Hey, part of repentance can happen before you're saved.
That's right.
Right.
Many things me and my wife repented over before we were saved. Many things. But you know what? Mike, you know what God did? He drew a line. Now I'm done, Dale. What's up? I'm done now. What are you going to do about that? He only brings you so far. Then he's going to draw that line in the sand. Now it's your choice. What are you going to do?
Right.
Brother David said it this morning. You know, let him take that candlestick out. Proverbs 20:27 says the Spirit is a candle within us.
That's right.
Here's what happens when God starts trying to light the inward parts of the belly. You're blowing it out. You're going to blow that candle out one too many times. It's not going to relight the next time. You'll fall off into hell. God, why'd you do that to me? God didn't. He chose a cross. That's what he chose. He didn't choose hell for you. You did.
Right.
prepared his heart. Look at here what it says in verse 12. It says, and they shall wander from sea to sea. And that's wandering from church to church. That's what goes on today. Everybody wanders from church to church.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
And from the north and even to the east, and they run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and it shall not be found of it. It's not going to be found. Why? Because they're not seeking the way God wants them to seek. They're trying to seek in the flesh. They're trying to seek with an emotion. Everybody's charged up. Well, I'm looking for this emotional experience. And that emotional experience, how long did it last us every time we'd make a profession? A week, maybe? As soon as that emotion wore off, we were like, dang, we knew it.
Right.
I knew where I stood. And I would get myself emotionally worked up, emotionally charged over things. Sure. But I've never prepared myself to hear the word of God. I never purposed in my heart that I really wanted to be saved.
Right.
God is not, listen, Isaiah talks about that the arm of the Lord is not short that he cannot save. It's, so we know it's not the issue with God. So what is the issue then? We know it's not his word. But it's a hearing of it.
That's right.
It's the hardness of a person's heart that refuses to hear the words anymore.
Right?
It's the hardness. They stiffen their neck towards
Amen.
It.
Amen, sir.
You can have 100 preachers up here preaching that wonderful King James Bible, and because of the hardness of their heart and the stiffness of their neck, they will not listen to a word of it.
Right?
By the way, hearing and listening are two different things. You all hear my voice. But somebody who listens means they'll leave out of here differently. Why? Because they'll do exactly what they were told. That's why James says, don't be just a hearer, but a doer.
That's right.
How many are going to leave here today and do and listen to what God has instructed? You can't tell me that since this preaching has started, I'm not talking about me, I'm talking before I even got up here with the singing and all, that has nothing has pierced your heart? If not, you're in a very scary place. And if that don't scare you, nothing will. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 14. It's talking about the word of God. It says, for this commandment which I command this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over to the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the words is very nigh unto thee, and in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. You understand? If the words of God aren't far where you got to go, it's right here. Matter of fact, it should be in your home.
Right.
You don't have to go, listen, you don't have to go to Bible college and learn Greek and Hebrew to understand this Bible. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. I had a man tell me that. He said, you know what, Dale? You need to know Greek and Hebrew to have an understanding of salvation. I said, then I'd still bust hell wide open because I wouldn't have an understanding of it. Isn't that what the Catholic churches did?
Right. Yep.
Now we have Baptists doing the same thing.
Right.
I can't learn Greek and Hebrew. I don't want to learn Greek and Hebrew. I don't need to learn Greek or Hebrew. If I can't understand this Bible exactly the way it is, how it's written, then it was never meant for me to understand. But you know what? That's not the case.
Right.
Thank God for it. I don't have to go somewhere and ask somebody, oh, can you please? Listen, John 14, 26, that the Holy Ghost will teach us all things. You know where I learned most of my Bible? In the church, which is the pillar of ground and the truth, and at my kitchen table.
Right.
That's where I learned my Bible. Not in no college. Bible college. I had a guy in Florida just recently get angry. I mean, very, very, very angry with me because I told him Bible college didn't teach me Bible. He looked at me like, well, if it didn't teach you Bible, then what?
Bible correction.
Because you know why? Their Bible college is their doctrine. That's all they have.
God.
I got a Bible college. It's called sitting in my church, and it's called sitting at the table with the Holy Ghost. That's my Bible college. What a wonderful thing. But you know what? That takes a purposing.
It
takes a preparing of your heart to want to hear those things and to understand that it's right here in front of you. It's not somewhere where it's in outer space floating around somewhere. No, God gave it to you in his mercy. It's here in front of us. And he put it in a language that we could understand it. If I went, whether you like Androids or whether you like Apple, I don't care.
Yeah.
But if I handed you a new tablet, you would understand some of the basics about it. But you know what you would do? You would sit down for hours and figure that thing out. Until you got it. But you say you can't understand the King James Bible. Why? Because it's not in your heart.
That's right.
Yeah.
But that tablet's in your heart.
Right.
To have an understanding of those things of this world is in your heart. But you will not take the time to learn that Bible.
Man.
It's not in your heart. Plain and simple. You know when you know something's in your heart, you'll do it. Nobody has to tell you.
Yes.
Nobody has to remind you.
Man.
You'll just do it. You know what it does? It drives you to do it. That Bible wakes me up. I wake up thinking about what I'm going to read in the morning.
Yeah.
Good or bad. My Bible readings aren't always good because conviction comes from that thing. It's what it does. It's showing me the intents of my heart.
Love sometimes.
It's not always just a lovey-dovey thing. That's a hard thing sometimes. But what a wonderful thing.
Sure.
I don't let that chase it away from me, brother.
No.
But you know what that takes? A preparation. You must prepare your heart to do the things written in the Word of God, because the Word of God goes against everything that we are. That's, brother church, that's where most people hate it, because that Bible goes against everything that they are.
That's right.
Goes against that sin nature, man.
Sure.
Goes against those decisions you want to make. You know why most people don't pray for the decisions that God? Because it's going to go against exactly what they want.
Man.
Let's go to Luke chapter 8 real quick. Now, I didn't know Zach was going to be reading some of this stuff, so, but God did. Look at Luke chapter 8. And I want to read a few verses here, starting in verse 11. Luke chapter 8. Starting in verse 11. And this is what it says, and it says this, that now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So we know right off the bat the seed is good. There's nothing wrong with the seed.
Right.
It's the word of God. Okay? And here's what it says. And it says, the seed is the word of God. Verse 12, and those by the wayside that hear. They hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest, there's the hope, lest. If that lest wasn't there, then there would be no hope. I want you to know that you sitting in this room tonight as a lost person, or excuse me, today, as a lost person, there is hope because there's a lest in there. Because something can happen. It says, unless they believe and are saved. Verse 13, they are on the rock, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. Verse 14, they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life and bring forth no fruit to perfection. But that which on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring it forth, fruit, bring forth fruit with patience. Let me just say this. You see what it says? With an honest and good heart. You see that? That seed can't fall on a corrupt and untruthful heart.
Right.
Yeah, I want to be saved. And God's going, sure. Then why isn't that seed falling? You see, there's nothing wrong with the seed, Zach.
That's right.
There's something wrong with the place it's falling in. There's something wrong with that place it's falling in. And God is trying to show them, if you'll have an honest heart, if you'll have an open heart, then I can do something. But because of your unbelief, because you will not be honest with yourself, because you will not see those things that I want you to see, it's going to fall on grounds and it's going to always escape you.
Sure.
The devils, the care of this world, those very things that attacked Daniel, the very things that Jesus Christ, when he was led up in the wilderness, come along and guess what? If they fall away. Jesus gave us an example to defeat the devil with the word of God, but they don't believe and believe the word of God can do that.
Right.
So what do? They just let it take them away. Once again, it's all taken. Once again, they find themselves back exactly where they started.
That's right.
Lest they believe and be saved. That's what God wants to do. He wants to save a person. 2 Chronicles 27 verse 6 says, and Jotham became mighty. Why? Because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Let me just say this, men of God. Let me say this, ladies of God. You need to prepare your ways before the Lord before you come to church.
Sure.
Right. Didn't get into that praying and reading and studying.
Yeah.
We can get up here and preach a good thing, but listen, Paul says this, if you're going to preach the gospel, you have to live it.
Sure.
I'm guilty of getting up and preaching stuff and not living it myself. And the Lord just says, Dale, you go in there and you tell them things and you don't live it yourself.
Right.
Man, that's, man, I'm going to tell you what, that'll that's rip right. your heart out.
Right.
Why? Because I need to be prepared as well. First Chronicles 29:3 says, moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God. He's prepared his heart. He's prepared those things. And look what it says. And I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Because the things of God were more important than those things of anything else. Did you prepare your heart to come to church this morning?
Amen.
Did you ask God, Lord, I'm expecting you to show up
Man.
And show me something. I'm expecting you to show up in that preaching. I'm expecting you to show up in that singing. The problem is you don't believe it, and quite frankly, you could care less if it ever happened. You know, the excitement used to build up when you would look forward to things.
Right.
Did that happen to you before church? As a kid, man, you get excited. We're going here or we're going there. Oh, this is going to be fun. I can't wait. I can't wait to get up to the Black Creek. I get to go see my family and such. I get to get up there. Man, this is going to be great. And the kids are excited. They can't wait to pack things and get in that van or whatever and go. How about church? Hannah? Eric? You know, remember Sunday school? Remember when you sat in church? Remember the bitterness and hatred that you would have towards the Word of God and the preaching? You're passing it on to your children.
Sure.
Remember that? I watch many preachers' kids grow up with a hatred towards the Word of God, and they pass it on to their children. There's no excitement. Did you look forward to coming to church? Did your kids get an idea that we might be going to church and this is going to be a good thing? Or we put on our costumes one more time? I heard a man tell me that one time, say that to me. He said, I finally get to go and take off my work outfit. I don't put this on for work. This ain't no work for me. This is something I love. I enjoy this. This is my life. This is who I am.
Man.
Ain't no problems getting up and coming. I don't get up. Oh, I guess I gotta go to church one more time. Man, could you imagine having that attitude?
Right.
And you want God to bless you. You want God to do something in your life.
Right.
My friends, you're passing it on to your children.
Right.
And your children are gonna have the same bitterness and hatred and everything against the Word of God, against singing and everything else. You know what it does? It rots confusion because they come in here and see one thing and they go home and it's a totally another.
Woo!
I had a guy tell me this. He said, Dale, I could never get saved unless my mother did. I grew up in church. And you know what he said? She's one way in church and another way at home. Destroyed them, kids.
Right.
Destroyed them. Have you prepared your heart? Have you purposed in your heart that me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord regardless of what happens in this world? Me and my family, listen, I thank God. Let me just say that I thank God that Amy purposed in her heart before I did. Because her purposing to go to church and sit underneath that preaching and me seeing things change in her life, it made me want to go to church. Thank God you didn't wait for me. Don't wait.
Right. I mean,
don't wait. You change and they'll follow.
Amen.
Don't wait. I'm not kidding you.
That's right.
That's exactly what happened to my family. Because I seen that in her. She asked me one day, you want to go to church? Here's what she said. This man preaches a King James Bible like you never heard it.
Ping.
I've always loved the King James Bible. I just never understood about it. Nobody ever taught me about it. Nobody ever taught me from it. They were trying to teach me everything else and all the programs and all this nonsense and all this baloney. 2 Chronicles 12, 13, 14 says, so King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem, and he reigned. And Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, and the city which the Lord had chosen of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. Are you a place that God can put his name on?
Man.
Let me just tell you, it's not going to come any other way except for you purpose and prepare that. How I know that? Look at right here. They put his name there, and his mother's name was Naamah. And I can't say these words, but I'll just guess at it. She was an Amoritess. And he did evil. Why? Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Did you prepare your heart today to seek the Lord? This is his house. Does he not put his name in this place?
Yeah.
And if that's the case, should you not be preparing your heart to seek him in this place?
Right.
Did you do that this morning? Then how are you trying to convince God that you're really being diligent, that you really are seeking him for salvation? Can you please tell me that? Because if you can't convince me that, you sure ain't convincing God of that. He did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. And it was a place. It was a place that God chose to put his name there. God has chosen to put his name on the Living Waters Baptist Church. And yet you do not prepare yourself to seek him in his house. It's just a place you come. And it's the same thing you've done your entire life.
Right.
God wants to bust that wide open. God wants to tear down that wall. He wants to rip it up, and he wants to throw it out. 1 Samuel 15:23. I'm going to read 1 Samuel 15:23. Look what it says here. 1 Samuel 15:23. It says this, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as an iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being a king. And I want you to see here, because of you, your seeking a God for salvation has become your idol. Why has it become your idol? Because you're stubborn and rebellious against the word of God. And you've made it into an idol. You've made seeking for salvation an idol in your life. Why? Because your stubbornness and your rebelliousness against the word of God.
Right.
And now God has rejected it. Now all of a sudden you think that you're ready to seek the Lord. You know what he says? Not now. I will laugh at your calamities. When you seek, you won't find.
Right.
God knows that nonsense. He sees through all that garbage. He sees the idolatry of your seeking, or what you perceive to be seeking, or what you perceive to be your diligence. God sees that as an idol. And he sees it because it's of your rebelliousness and because of you being stubborn against the word of God. Ain't that something?
Right.
It ain't against the man of God. It's against the word the man of God preaches. And it's against the word of God. Look at this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Do you know that's a purpose, that you have to purpose in your heart? You have to make a purpose, a determination in your heart that you're going to present yourself to God. As an unsaved person, you need a purpose in your heart that you're going to present yourself to God. It says to present is a purposing, a preparing, to be willing to, of a mind and heart to present your body as a to God as a living sacrifice. You see, Christian, we love the whole thought of God saving us and giving us a life, but you know what we don't like? Is we have to be a living sacrifice.
Right.
You see, sacrifices in the Old Testament got killed.
Mm-hmm.
God expects you to stay alive and do what he wants.
Right.
That means you present your body. Here it is, Lord. This is yours. It's one of the convictions that God got on me about my eating. Because I wasn't treating my body right. I'm not all into all this stuff, and I preach to people against what they eat. I don't get into that. But I'm telling you now, God showed me, you're killing yourself. That's my body, not yours.
Yeah.
It's a living sacrifice for me, not yourself.
Man.
And you need to do right. Yes, that's right, Lord. I'll do it. Thank God for a wonderful wife that helps me do it as well. 35 pounds or so. I feel good. It feels wonderful not to have that stuff on me.
Yeah.
Almost 300 pounds, I was killing myself. But look at Isaiah 1:19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you should be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. If you rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. What is that? The word of God. It's gonna devour you. John 10:10 says, Jesus didn't just promise life in heaven alone, but he says, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Listen, if you're born again and you're a child of God, you have eternal life. But he also wants to give you an abundant life here.
Yes.
We have a great life together, do we not, Amy? We have an abundant life. I didn't say money.
Right.
Money's not what makes me and my family happy. Yeah. Having things isn't what makes me and my family happy. That isn't where our happiness lies, because it might be some money here. That's not what makes me and Amy function. That used to be what made us function. You know what that did? It drove us into bankruptcy twice.
Yeah.
That's right. Drove us into bankruptcy twice because money was our idol. But you know what? God took that from us. And he ran us through some hard, long times. And he said, I will be your happiness and not money.
Hey.
That's a reality. What is that? Presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You mean that's reasonable?
Right.
To live holy is a reasonable thing. That's right. He went to the cross. He saved me from hell for eternity. Right. Not only that, but he's given me a life more abundant. You don't think that's reasonable enough? Oh, wait, you don't have that, so therefore that wouldn't matter to you. You wouldn't understand what he's talking about there because you don't have that. Is it unreasonable what God asks us, Amy? Is it unreasonable for what he asks us to do? You look back and go, no. It takes somebody like me and do what he's done to me? No, it's not unreasonable for me to do what we need to do. Go through what we go through. Why? We present our bodies.
That's right.
I'm going to close with this. I want you to just turn real quick to Job. And then I'm going to close with this. And I want to challenge you, though. Don't walk out this door without something that God has... Listen, I know for a fact that God has spoken to hearts. But you can't go out that door and shake it off anymore. I don't remember who I was talking to. Maybe it was Zach, or maybe it was my wife. I don't remember. I just said, unfortunately, in churches today, in this church, Black Creek, that God may have to make an example of somebody.
Right.
For it to make a difference in somebody's life. Are you going to be that family? Are you going to be that one? I hope not.
Right.
I know you hope not. But if God does, that's what he chose. And hopefully then, maybe it might change their lives. Maybe. Because even when those type of things happen, the hardness of their heart still is hard. They refuse to allow God to break up that fallow ground. The more you refuse to allow God to break up that fallow ground, the harder it's going to be, the harder it's going to be, the harder it's going to be. And soon it comes to the point where you've lost natural affection towards another human being. If that's the case, then what do you think you're going to feel about God?
Right.
Look at Job. My soul is weary of my life. 10:1. My soul is weary. I'm sorry about that. 10:1. Job 10:1. It says, my soul is weary of my life. Is that how you feel today? You weary of your life? If not, ask God to make you weary. What do you mean? Because you're not weary enough. You're not weary of this life. You're not weary. You're not sick and tired of anything in this life. You're not sick and tired of the things that you go through. If you were, you'd come to God. You'd be aware of your life, but you're not there yet.
Right.
Ask God to make you come there. Help me to be weary, Lord, of this life.
Right.
I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Verse 2 says, I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands, and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as man seeth? Are thy days as the days of man? Are thy years as a man's days? As man's days, that thou inquirest after my iniquity and searchest after my sin? Job understood that God was dealing with him. But by verse 7, it's plain to see that Job was confused and had no clue what has come upon him and why. But this did not change the fact that God still did and would do what he had to do to bring Job through the other side. Do you understand that? Just because Job didn't understand, just because Job didn't get why God had allowed him to go, did not stop God from doing what he had to do to get Job to the other side. My friend, if you're lost in here, God is trying to get you to the other side. And if he's got to put you through it, he will. It's not gonna bring a drop of sweat to his brow. Why? Because his absolute love, his absolute pure and perfect love for you drives him to do that. There is a pure love. It's called God. God is love. And his love for you will drive you through things. This is what I tell people. Don't pray that God gets you out of things. Pray that he gets you through it. Because you'll learn more going through things than you ever will get out of it. Christian, if God leaves you in your comfort zone, you'll never be anything to him. You'll be worthless. He's got to pull you out of that comfort zone in order to be a use. When you sit there and say, that's it, God, I can't take it no more, and some more of that rope drops down and God says, now you're on my terms, then you can be of use. Then you can be a use, Christian. Look at this. Remember what you're going through. Just as Job, God had a purpose. God never says he'll explain to us his purpose, but to believe in the trust that he is God and he knows what's best. Job 42:12 says, so that the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And at the end of what God is allowed to come a pass in your life, he will do the same for you. Don't pray that God gets you out of it. Pray that he gets you through it. Pray that he will get you through as he did in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29:10-13 says, talks about what you're going through right now is Babylon. In Jeremiah 29, God says this, in Babylon, he's going to work a work to get people to come back to him. My friend, you may be in a Babylon today. That's only because God's trying to get your attention and bring you to a place he's got to bring you to. The wilderness experience is designed to get you to see how lonely, dark, and hateful it is out there. God is trying to get you to see, to come out of that wilderness and to come to him. And then when you come out to that light you're seeing is Jesus Christ. But there's only one way there. That's through Babylon. That's through the wilderness. That's going through that birth canal. But if you will not determine, if you will not purpose in your heart, if you will not prepare your heart to seek God, if you will not prepare your heart to come into this church, if you will not prepare your heart to hear the word of God, you will remain lost. The longer you remain lost, brother, and I believe this with all my heart, the harder you will get. It will get for you to get saved. Yeah. Not because of God, not because he's weak, not because he can't, but you continue to harden your heart against him just like Pharaoh did in Egypt.
Right.
Listen, my friend, that's not where God wants you. God never intended you to be where you're at. No matter where you grew up, no matter what home you came from, no matter how good it was, bad it was, God never intended for you to be lost.
Right.
That's why Jesus Christ died. But you know what that means to a person today, Brother Church? Zero.
Right.
The world has taken all that away, and they still want their foot in it, brother. They still want their foot in the world. The very thing that has stolen the power of God out of their life, they still want to keep their foot in it. I'm done.